And we are opening the First Peter, by the way. First Peter chapter number 3. Continuing, again, we've looked at these various, I guess you'd call them people groups, and strangers, citizens, servants, and spouses. And today we kind of wrap it all together with the duties and privileges, I should say, of all Christians. So we're going to be in verses number 8. And we're just going to be going through verse 12 this morning. Verses 8 through 12, it says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Dear Lord, thank you once again for your word. Thank you because it's only by it that we have our knowledge of you. And we just pray that we would continue growing in that knowledge and of course, and in that grace which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So it says, finally, and you might say to wrap things up, in conclusion to what he's been saying before, says, be ye all of one mind. It's a hard thing to do because you can't usually get two people to agree on anything, can you? But the reality, talking to the church and to believers, we are called to be of one mind. And that one mind is not our own opinions, our own ideas, our own particular theologies. The one thing that we are one-minded about is the person and work of Christ Jesus and the privileges that come from that. Yes, indeed, we are privileged to be Christians. You know, there are many people that are around looking for miracles and signs and all kinds of things to verify who God is. But we have the greatest. We're saved. We have the greatest miracle of all. That is salvation. It doesn't get any more miraculous than that. Remember, because it's hardly a rich man can be saved. It's like going through the eye of a camel, going through the eye of a needle. But with God, with man, these things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that all things deals with salvation being a work of God. It wasn't a work at all of our own. We simply trusted and believe the good report of the gospel. So it's a privilege. Now all these things, these looks like commandments, these imperatives that Peter gives us, they're all based on the truth of the gospel. By themselves, they have no power to save or sanctify or satisfy a person. But it's only because of the basis of Jesus Christ and his finished work. We must always keep that in mind. You know, these things to be of compassion one to another. Without Christ, that's impossible. We would not sympathize whatsoever with what other people are doing or going through, but only through the eyes of Christ. Now, I'll use in a couple weeks, Heidi. I'll put you in scene to keep you awake. I'll use you here this morning. She just, by the way, she just worked from 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon to 7 o'clock this morning. So if she starts to nod off, just throw something at her for now. But she's running. But I can't say running because it's a triathlon. And one of the things that she was told to do in the swimming aspect of it is stay to the outside. Stay to the outside. Don't get in the middle of the pack because you will get run over and many people drown. That's what humanity is like. Humanity is dog eat dog. The best wins. And she just wants to complete the course just to show that she can do it. So, but that's the mentality that Jesus Christ puts us above. Not that we're better, but we're privileged in the fact that Christ died for us. So we don't have to prove ourselves unto man and try to show that we're bigger and stronger and faster than anybody else. We have the opposite, where it's Christ is our example, our model. He laid down his life. That's our model in the church. So he says, be of one mind. Now, don't get this Greek word. We might be called politically incorrect. It's being of one mind is the word is homophron. It means homo is one, and phron is mind, to be like-minded, or the more literal version would be harmonious, to be in harmony one with another. And this word is that particular is only used here in this one place in 1 Peter. Remember, he's talked to these different groups that were the scattered strangers, the citizens, the servants, and the spouses. But he says in here, be harmonious. That true harmony only comes through Christ. And that should be the mark of the believer. It should be the mark of the church of Christ. Not the denomination, the church of Christ, but the church which belongs to Jesus Christ with him as its head. Just like music. If I were to get up there and play a song on the piano, it wouldn't be very harmonious, would it be? But if somebody knows what they're doing and is focused on the music, there comes a sweet sound out of that. So it is with the church. If the church is united on in Christ and not everything else, there's a harmonious spirit. There's this harmonious sound from that church. It's the essence of Jesus Christ, his person, and his work. It's, number one, it's the love of Christ. His love for us first. Secondarily, our love for him. We love him because he first loved us. The message of 1 John chapter number 4. And then the basis of that, his love, our love for him, is our love for each other. That's perfect harmony. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Our basis of fellowship, Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, one of the things that so happens when we don't base our harmony or our one-mindedness on Christ, but on these imperative commands that come next, we don't have harmony, but we have dissonance. We try to do things without God, without Christ. That's the difference between imputed righteousness. We have our righteousness, or I should say Christ's righteousness, is imputed or given to us by Christ, that salvation. And a works righteousness, what would be called infused righteousness, that you earn your righteousness as you do these things, as you have compassion, as you love, as you have sympathy, as you are good-hearted or tender-hearted one to another, and as you're courteous one to another, you earn sanctification. But we start the other way around. We have all that, and these are fruits of salvation towards sanctification. Now let's look at these things here in verse number 8. It says, be all of one mind. And here's the different things about being in one mind. We have compassion one of another. In other words, this compassion we have is we're sympathetic of one another's feelings and situations. It's no longer ours alone, but it's everybody else's, that we're kind to them. We sympathize with them. The second thing is we love as brethren. This is Philadelphia, much different than the city of brotherly love today. But this brotherly love is a mark of the Christians. Yes, indeed, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That's a fruit of Christianity. Let's go right where that song is taken from John chapter 13. John chapter 13, speaking to his disciples here, verse number 31, says, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him.' Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, 'Lord, whither goest thou?' Jesus answered him, 'Whither I go, thou canst not thou follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards.' Peter said unto him, 'Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake.' Jesus answered him, 'Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice.'" We'll end there, but if we continue on in chapters 14 through 16, we see Jesus talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, saying that he, the Holy Spirit, would teach all that Christ commanded. So it's the Holy Spirit would teach the disciples to love one another. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit today, is our love we have one for another. Let's go back to our text in 1 Peter. And let's back up to chapter number 1, verse number 22. Remember, this is a common theme through 1 Peter. It's this cycle of the descriptive things that happen in salvation, and then the imperative, the commands of what to do because of salvation. Verse number 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying," or believing the truth, "in believing the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for the brethren." Again, the work of obedience to the truth, or believing the truth, is love for the brethren. "See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So he lays down the fact of salvation by the grace of God and the word of God. We get to love one another. So he says back in chapter number 3, "Finally, ye be of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful." So, well, compassioned or sympathetic with one another, or tender-hearted, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be tender-hearted one toward another. Be pitiful, be courteous. Now, what's neat about this word for courteous means friendly of mind. Courtesy is friendly of mind or kind. The literal word means friendly of mind. In your mind, you are friendly. And that goes right along with the harmony that we have, being one-minded. We're one-minded, and then we're friendly in mind as well. It goes together. Single-mindedness and being friendly. One-minded in that capacity goes together. Now, We can look at some negative things here. Verse number 9. Part of all this of being courteous, being loving, sympathetic, etc. It says, not rendering evil for evil. When something is, and we saw that when we read Psalm 34 this morning, we don't, because somebody is evil to us. No matter how much we want to pay them back, we don't do it. That is a work of God to do it. You see, and that our Christian testimony is one that speaks of what Christ did. Christ did not rail. Christ did not repay evil or rail against a railer. But he laid down his life. That is the Christian pattern for us as well. Not rendering railing for railing or reviling for reviling. When somebody speaks evil against you, as hard as it may be, we don't speak evil against them. We let God do the work in them. See, non-believers see us. They see us differently. They treat us differently. They don't expect us to answer wrathfully or badly to anybody else. They love it when we fail, or they perceive us as being failures. But when we endure these hardships, that's when people start asking you, how can you put up with these things? Let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, another common verse, I believe. And this is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 32, by the way. Romans chapter number 12. Let's start with verse number 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hard things to do without the Spirit of God, are they not? It's how a natural man wants to lash back, wants to get even. But God is the revenger. God is the one that takes vengeance on those that do evil. It's our place, basically, to let them do it, so that they may see the glory of God in you. Let's go over to Matthew chapter number 5 in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start with verse number 43. It says, ye have heard that if it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we looked at a couple weeks ago Peter's teaching on this. How can we be perfect? How can we be holy? It's by looking to the holiness of Christ Jesus. Looking to His righteousness. Looking to what He did. That's the only way. Not by trying to do these things without. Try. Here's something you can try sometime at home. Unlike those commercials that tell you, do not attempt this at home, in the small print. But if you were to sit down, a lot of people read the proverb of the day. People do this, even non-believers will read the proverb of the day because they are exactly that. They're maxims and proverbs for living. But as believers, how we need to read the proverbs is in light of salvation. That these are actions that we must do for salvation and sanctifications. They are fruits of that salvation. That's the big difference we have. It sounds so small, but it's so great. We can look at the reflection of those things and we can see Christ. And we see Christ and we see our reflection on Him, or His life being reflected in us. So we do these things, and out of faith and trust in the Lord, we're able to follow what Peter has said, what Paul has said, the imperatives of the Scripture. Now let's go to verse number 10. Verse number 10 in 1 Peter, chapter number 3. Verses number 10. Oh, wait a minute, let's finish with verse number 9. It says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, the opposite thing we do, not going against these things, like Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. A Christian has indeed inherited a blessing. It's the blessing of salvation, the blessing of eternal life. That's what we look forward to. The true blessing was through the blessing of Abraham, and Abraham's seed, which we learn in the book of Galatians, is Jesus Christ. That's what we inherit. Our sin, we inherited, or we didn't inherit, we earned the wages of sin, which is death. But Christ paid that wage for us on the cross. He paid it fully and completely, so that now we've inherited the blessing of eternal life. We've inherited righteousness. We've inherited sanctification in Him. Now, verse number 10 through 12 is a direct quotation from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. He says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." There are 5 points here in these 3 verses, or actually in all the verses that we looked at today. Number one, the fulfilled life, the Christian life, looking to Christ, has a humble, loving attitude towards everyone. First inside the church as brethren, and then outside we love, we bless, we don't rail for railing, and we don't return evil for evil. And that covers a non-vindicative response towards those that revile. We don't get back. Verse number 10, he will love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We no longer have bad speech, but we have pure and honest speech. That's the nature of Christ. We have in verse number 11, let him eschew or refrain from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue or pursue it. We now have a hatred of sin. not because of our works, but because of Christ's righteousness, and we now have a pursuit of peace. So when somebody tries to get us riled up and tries to persecute us, tries to revile us, we do all we can do not to react in a fleshly manner, but we do all that we can do to use it as a time for blessing. As a Christian, we seek to do good to those that despitefully use us, to those that seek to do harm to us. Our minds, through the Holy Spirit, says, how can I use this time now to be a blessing, no matter how awful this person treats us? Without Christ, it's impossible. But with Him, because He laid His life down for those very same people, it is possible. Verse number 12, taken from Psalm 34. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Again, I like to always say that's good and it's bad. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He is your protector. He is your provider. He knows all things. He knows what you are going to go through. He's been through it all through His Son. Jesus has gone through it all on the cross. His eyes are on the righteousness, and His ears are open unto their prayers. And Christian, God hears your prayers. We often don't think He does, but He does. In a true homage to 60s television, Father does know best. Our Heavenly Father knows what's good for us. He knows how to provide for us. He knows how to stop us from doing the things that we think we want, but God has a better idea. Who's that? He's a lot better than Avis, isn't He? God knows the beginning from the end. He is our righteousness. It says, but the Lord is against them that do evil. The Lord will have His way. The entire world, John 3, stands in judgment. The wrath of God is against the entire unbelieving world. As hard to believe as that is, it's the truth. And yet there is one way out of that wrath of God. It's through the righteousness of God, which has only been given through Christ Jesus. In closing, let's turn back to Psalm 34 for a second. Psalm 34, even though this wasn't quoted by Peter, let's look at verse number 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite or humble spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. There's a twofold message in that. It's a prophecy of Christ Jesus on the cross, not having His bones broken. But it's a promise for us as well. Though we have our bones broken, we suffer affliction, but yet we will be raised to new life with a glorified body put back together perfectly with the Lord. Verse number 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. You know, the wicked are always slain by the wicked. And the righteous, they hate the righteous, shall be desolate. God will judge. Verse number 22. God will, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Unlike the evil, the righteous will not only not be desolate, but the righteous will inherit all the blessing that God has. Will inherit that new life we have now, we have in Christ, but we inherit all of His blessings. As total heirs of Christ, joint heirs with Him. We look forward to the new life, the new heavens, new earth, our new bodies. Amen. What a hope that is for us, as opposed to those who are against the Lord. Yet our answer, or the answer from God for us, is to continue trusting in Him and His righteousness. Amen. He loves us. He knows what He's doing with us. Amen. Let's go back to, again, I said closing, but one more thing. Back to verse 10, could have stayed in Psalm 34. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue for evil and his lips that they speak no guile." We refrain from evil. We turn from evil. You know, there's some practical things about that as well. We all know that doing certain things causes inherent damage to our bodies. Certain physical things that we do, but you'll always get the answer, well, I know people that smoke 18 packs of cigarettes a day, but they live to 100. That's a rarity. That's not the exception. I mean, that is the exception. That is a rare thing. I could guarantee right now that if you were to practice sin, you would probably have a quicker end to your life. Amen? Maybe not. Maybe I could go in the middle of the Massachusetts Turnpike at night, wear all black clothes and stand in the center lane. There's a high chance that I would get run over probably rather quickly, right? But there is a chance that I could survive a few days or a few nights and make it back home and say, look, I'm invincible. I can harm my body in all these ways, but yet I have this long life. Now the reverse is true too. If you've claimed to have never, notice I didn't say that you have, if you've claimed never to have any vices or wicked practices, and you could be stricken down at a young age. That's an exception to the rule as well. For the most part, Peter's telling us to refrain from evil. You'll have a longer life. It will be life unto your soul. And this is true. But the reality is that things could happen to anyone. Sudden death, anything could happen, no matter what, because we are of our father Abraham. But God has given us His righteousness through Christ Jesus. So anything we do, we look at in the face of Jesus Christ, His love for us.